You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
The roller coaster of Corey Richens continues. I don't even know what to make of any of this anymore with what we're seeing. Recently, she had a letter that was obtained within her jail cell when she was getting medical treatment because she was given the wrong prescription for her seizures, which that's a whole other issue into itself. But they did obtain this letter. It does very much look like witness tampering with instructions to her family members on what to say and how to say it. And then literally in the last few minutes here, right before we got on, we've learned that she's now claiming it was not a letter trying to intimidate or tell anyone what to do. It's a manuscript for a book. Now,
it really is. You know, it started with, well, obviously it started with the death of her husband. Yeah. But then, of course, the children's book really, I think, elevated this case to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And I think that this letter, you know, I've actually had a chance to read parts of the letter, yeah, and it doesn't look good for her.
No.
I mean, there's just some clear evidence of her giving instructions to her mom. And, you know, not only does it, I think, will it look very poorly for her, you know, in terms of if this is somebody who's kind of, you know, trying to wield her power and influence behind the scenes and scheming and those kinds of things, I can see the jury thinking, well, isn't this somebody who would do the same thing outside of jail?
Yes.
And hide secrets and those kinds of things. It also, I think, will potentially damage the credibility of her mom and her brother if they were going to testify for her. Because again, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, you and I talked before about having kids and thinking, yeah, I can't imagine one of my kids, well, I can't imagine them doing something like this, but if they did, I can't imagine them coming to me with a plan, mm-hmm, for how to get out of it and thinking that I would go along with that.
What baffles me is the fact that she thought she could write this and, number one, get it out of the prison or the jail without anyone reading it and then making big red flags about it. Or number two, pass this off as a manuscript. She just keeps lying and it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. What kind of mental state is someone like this in? I mean, is this just someone who just isn't that bright at the end of the day, doesn't make the greatest of decisions, thinks people are going to believe anything that they say? What are we dealing with here? Because it just seems this is almost childhood-like stupidity.
Yeah, there does seem to be, just in terms of the letter as well, you know, talking to her mom, if I can remember some of the things that I, yeah, remember hearing, you know, that we're almost at the finish line and, you know, things are going to get better soon. There is almost this kind of, I think, denial, mm-hmm, on the one hand, that the situation she's really in, and also just a real, I think, overestimation of her own abilities.
Yeah.
It's like, I do think that she does seem to think she's the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
And I think when you think that, the flip side of that is you're often underestimating other people, mm-hmm, and their, you know, their ability to find things. And particularly in, I mean, as somebody who's worked inside of a prison, it's not easy to get things outside of a prison. I mean, yeah, it's done. People smuggle things in, people smuggle things out, but it certainly isn't easy. And to think that somebody's writing this kind of a letter and hiding it in a book and thinking and believing. Now, I don't know if she thought she was going to hold up this letter off through a video camera and her mom was going to read it. I'm not sure how she thought her mom was going to have access to this, mm-hmm, but she talks to her mom about taking some general or what vague notes so she doesn't forget things. And I mean, it's a whole plot.
Yeah.
Within this letter. Mm-hmm. And again, you kind of go, given what she's charged with, which is essentially secretly plotting to murder her husband, this particularly looks bad.
The optics are absolutely horrible. And I don't think she's going to get away with the story of, oh, it's a manuscript. And I'm guessing in the back of her mind, the whole time she was writing this, she's thinking, well, what if I get caught? What am I going to say? Oh, it's a manuscript. Yeah. That's a great one. Everyone will buy that. Is this someone who, it's almost like the lobster in the boiling pot of water. She's had an echo chamber around her for so much of her life, telling her that what she says is right and going along with her BS and this and that and things that aren't necessarily criminal, maybe some, but just that sort of atmosphere. And now she's in a place where no one's going to take her seriously. She can't just talk her way or manipulate or pressure people out of it. And she doesn't really realize that she's surrounded by all these brick walls now. Is that why we're seeing this kind of level of ignorance?
I think it is. I really think you're onto something, Tony, because, you know, everything from how she's behaved from the minute her husband died in terms of writing this children's letter. I mean, if you really did kill your husband, obviously she has not been proven guilty in a court of law.
Sure.
But if you did, I would think for the vast majority of people would want to stay under the radar as much as possible. Number one, you know, you would not be out there talking about it, capitalizing on it, you know, pretending to feel ways that you weren't, drawing attention to yourself. And then when you do kind of come under scrutiny, some of the things that she said to law enforcement, just obvious kind of lies. It really is like I said, it's like she's in some kind of denial about the ability of other people to see through the lies that she's telling. And it really is like she is convinced herself that she, you know, people will just believe her. She can talk her way out of whatever it is.
Yeah. And I don't get the feeling that necessarily she's believing her own lies, kind of how I feel Lori Daybell was. I feel like she just, like you said earlier, she thinks she's the smartest person in the room no matter what, and genuinely shocked when people don't buy what she's selling.
Yeah, no, I believe that. And you're absolutely right. I do not think this is somebody who has convinced herself that what she's saying is true. It's she's convinced herself that she can convince other people that what she says is true.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.